Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Las Musas podcast. My name is Crystal Maldonado, and I am the author of Fat Chance Charlie Vega. Today, I'm joined by Alda P. Dobbs and Johnny Garzavilla, and on this episode of Debut Diaries, the middle grade and YA edition, we'll be talking about blurbs and acknowledgments. Alda, can you start us off by introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about your book?
Yes, thank you for having me here today. My name is Alda P. Dobbs, and I am the author of the middle grade historical novel, Barefoot Dreams of Petra Luna. It's about 12-year-old Petra Luna who fights hard to keep her family safe during the Mexican Revolution back in 1913. And the story is based on actual family stories that my great-grandmother told of her time during the Mexican Revolution. And a little bit about myself, I live in the Houston area, and my background was in physics and engineering, but 10 years ago, I did the leap of faith and decided to start writing. So here I am now.
I love that. Okay, Johnny?
Yeah, I'm Johnny Garzavilla. I am the author of the young adult novel, 1500 Miles from the Sun, about Corpus Christi, Texas high school senior, Julian Luna, who just wanted to graduate, get into UCLA, have like a super low-key senior year until he accidentally comes out as gay on Twitter when he's super thrown at a party. And the Los Angeles boy who dives into his DMs the next morning. And that's out June 8th of this year.
I love it. Oh, that book is so good. Everybody go buy it. Okay. And I'm Crystal Maldonado, author of Fat Chance Charlie Vega. And I straight up just had to Google what my book was about because I totally blanked on it. So it's about a 16-year-old girl. Her name's Charlie. She is a fat Puerto Rican girl, and she's honestly just looking for love. And you kind of follow her through this story of figuring out how to love her body, how to love her friends, and how to fall in love with her first crush. And that came out February 2nd. So you can buy it wherever books are sold.
Do it.
Thank you. Okay. So today we're talking about blurbs and acknowledgments. So some editors kind of value blurbs, and then there are other editors who are just like not a fan of them. So how did the topic of blurbs come up between you and your editor? Alda?
Yes. I read a lot of books about publishing and the whole process, and I had heard about blurbs, and a lot of books gave the timeline to ask about or bring it up around 9 to 6 months prior to the publication. So, you know, like a true nerd, you know, I wrote it down on my calendar and I had it ready to come up with that question. And my editor is the one who brought it up first. So I was surprised, you know, she was ahead of time. And I said, okay, great, I'll take that. And she brought it up, but she stated it with the caveat that blurbs are not that important. If you can't get them, don't worry, you know, we'll manage, you know. But, you know, she said, have you thought about who you're going to ask or whatnot? So that's how she brought it up. And in my response, I knew people from before my book even got bought from years ago. And those networks, those connections, that's how I started, by asking them and bringing it up to my editor and saying, hey, maybe I should ask this person. And that's when we proceeded. We went on.
Oh, you were so prepared.
Yeah, nerd in me, the engineer.
I love it. Johnny, how about you?
So my editor, in my opinion, took blurbs like super seriously. She actually had me send like a list of names to her. And then after that, she had me get on like a video call with my agent and was like, let's go down this list and you can tell me what about each author's name makes an impression on you and why you want them to blurb your book. And I'm like, that wasn't anything I was prepared for. Like, I'm just gonna say the same thing. Like, they're cool and they're gay. Like, I don't know what you want from me. But yeah, like literally like just this whole conversation about like going forward with blurbs.
Wow. Okay, I was like so unprepared for blurbs. And I feel like this is a running theme in my life when I come on this podcast where I'm like, I didn't know what I was doing. It just worked out. So obviously I had read blurbs on other books, but I didn't know the process at all really about how it would work for my book. And so my editor was definitely the one who brought it up first. And I was just like, I am so excited we're even talking about this. This is thrilling. I cannot wait. And so she had created a list of authors that she thought had similar books to mine and who might be willing to sort of say yes. And I was truly just like, whatever you tell me to do, I will do. And so that was, it was really casual for us. It was just kind of like, yeah, that sounds good. I have no complaints. And then my editor was like, great, we'll start reaching out. So it worked out. So how did you guys decide who to approach for the blurbs? So did your agent or your editor kind of have a list of authors in mind? Kind of talked about this a little bit, but how, I guess, how did you determine those final people you reached out to?
Well, for me, it was, like I said, one of them I knew, there were friends I knew from before, so that was easy. Now, the ones I didn't know, that was a challenge. But my agent, my editor, it came together and we kind of came up with a list too. And they kept reminding me, don't worry, if you can't get them, you know, no worries. And I started requesting people that were middle grade writers, because I'm a middle grade writer who did historical fiction. So I started searching books that were similar to mine. And I reached for the stars, you know, I started asking people, you know, and of course I would ask my editor, who did she know, if she had that contact, and my agent as well. So some of them they knew personally or they had contacts with, and we were able to proceed with that.
Awesome. Johnny?
I had two different lists. One was like with the big name authors who I really admire but never really interacted with before. Like, I know Gabby Rivetta was on that list, and Becky Albertalli and Adam Silvera. And then I had another one who were authors that I had like knew primarily on Twitter from just like if they had commented or retweeted something like book related I had posted before, and like I just even minimally interacted with. And those were kind of like how we separated those, like the ones that like I just couldn't even dream of like even being in the same room with right now, and like those were like, okay, cute, like they might want to be my friend.
Oh, I love that. So yeah, mine was truly my editor and agent suggesting people and me just going, yes, that sounds amazing, because I think any author they had mentioned, like I was just so excited that they thought that this author might want to read my book, that there was nobody I shot down. I was just like, yup, whatever you guys say, we're going to go do this and it's going to be cute. So that was fun. So how did you actually ask for your blurbs? Like, were you nervous at all? Were you stressed out? Did you have to be the one who reached out? Did your editor help? How did that work?
For me, I cheated a little bit, because the author who did the blurb for me, who I knew in the past, she had offered it already. So she was my beta reader. And after she finished beta reading, she said, and if you want to blurb, you know, feel free to reach out to me once you have the book sold and whatnot. And I said, okay, thank you, you know, whatnot. And so I had her, and it was easier to say, hey, remember when you offered that? So she made it really easy for me to ask. Otherwise, I'm a big introvert, and I get really nervous on how to approach people. And for the other ones, luckily my editor and my agent would ask me, do you have a personal contact with that person, with that author? If you don't, because I would say, well, I've emailed them, and they said, well, how did you meet them? Did you meet them at a conference? Was there? And I said, no, I just emailed them randomly about a question, you know, 6 months ago. And they're like, nah, you know, that's not really. So we'll approach them. We'll find a way to approach them differently. So they wanted that personal connection first, prior to me reaching out. So, and that was the only one I reached out, the one that had been my beta reader. They did the other ones, or the ones who reached out to the other people.
Oh, thank God for editors and agents. Let's just say that.
Yeah, otherwise, yeah, I'd still be here thumbing my thumb. You know,
same. Johnny?
Yeah, so for me, like, I left those big names with my agent and editor, but the others, my editor was like, okay, so, like, since you've interacted before, like, you can just go message them, right? Message them, like, and just go see if they're open to blurbing, which was terrifying. Like, I was not expecting anyone to make me go and like just casually drop into Case and Calendars and Marco Shiro's DMs. Mm-hmm. But they definitely made me do that and like ask if they'd blurb my book. And that was like the scariest thing ever. And I remember texting my friends like, oh my God, how do I do this? Like, I'm going to faint. And like, it wasn't so much them telling me no that I was scared of. It was just like, this person has said two nice things to me before in our entire life. And like, now I'm just in their DMs asking like, hey, like, do you want to be my friend? Like, Like, what's the first one? What's replied like super excitedly, like, yes, oh my God, it was easier. But I was like, oh, like they're gonna hate me. They're all gonna block me. Like, I'm never gonna be able to do anything with any of these people. It's, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we don't talk enough about how stressful it is to ask for the blurbs when you're the author.
Especially right? When you're a debut author.
Yes. You're like, I have nothing to show for this. You don't know me. Like, maybe you liked my tweet, but like, now I have to ask you for something. And it really is like you're putting yourself out there and it feels so overwhelming. But then I feel like on the flip side, like, I've only been asked to blurb one thing, but I got so excited when someone reached out and I was like, oh, I get to read this book and this is really great. So I don't know. You can't know that when you're a debut, obviously, but I feel like it's more accepted that this is just part of the process. And so like other authors like expect to be asked and the worst they can say is like, no, I don't have time in my schedule. So I just feel like want to put that out there. Like if you're a debut and you're stressing over this, other authors probably don't think it's that big of a deal that you're reaching out. However, you still will freak out and like want to throw up when you do it.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And probably my situation was different because I don't have Twitter. Mm-hmm. So I don't have that contact with anybody. I'm, you know, kind of secluded, you know, and that's probably why they told me, no, we'll do the reaching out for you.
And so for me, I actually had Twitter, but I was so secretive about the fact that I was writing a book that I didn't make any connections like in the industry at all. I didn't know any authors. And so I didn't have any personal connections with who we were going to ask. So it was the same thing kind of with you, Alda, like my editor was like, oh, since you don't have that personal connection, we'll take care of reaching out to people. And I was so thankful.
Should have faked it.
I should have, but I was too scared.
Imagine.
So what do you guys think is the best approach for asking for blurbs?
I think for me would be having that, building your network prior to publishing. You know, I wish I would have been less shy and reached out to more people. You know, I had a few author friends, but I think of all the other opportunities I missed because I was too shy and I was too scared to approach people and just be more outgoing. Even though you don't have anything, you're starting out, it's your first conference, get out there, you know, start shaking hands, fist bumping now, but sorry, it's a different world, but start making that connection, you know, and everybody started at one point. So we all understand and, you know, we're happy to help out, guide. And I'm sure Twitter offers that, you know, connection there. I don't do it, but Facebook, that's what I do. So, but yeah, you try to take advantage of any tool you have out there to establish that connection and maintain it, you know, just like anything, make it grow. And later on, you know, it could be a blur for you.
I love it. That's great advice. How about you, Johnny?
I think the best approach is tied to your own comfort level. Like I can have major social anxiety. And so if at any point I would have just become too overwhelmed DMing authors about blurbs, I absolutely would have just told my agent and editor, like, take care of it. So I'd say do what makes you comfortable and just be cool about it. Like, I never asked, will you blurb my book, to any of these authors. It was like, I'd love it if you'd consider blurbing. Like, this is happening soon. It's no biggie if you can't. And like, if they're interested, just ask for their agent's email to pass along to your people. Not because like your people couldn't find it themselves, like my agent editor could definitely find their agent's emails, but that also leaves the door open for them to like give them their personal email instead of their agent's email. And it's not you asking for their personal information, it's leaving that door open for them too. So just be like smart about it. Have fun, don't be weird, and you'll be okay. Like,
don't be weird is just the greatest motto, just in general. Like,
no.
Don't weird other authors out. That's I agree. Yeah. So I didn't have to reach out to anybody to ask for blurbs, but I shot my shot with Roxane Gay. I went huge and I was like, I'm going to just email her and see if she would be interested. And this was after we already had like our other blurbs sort of set up. And she wrote me back and was like, I'm on deadline and I can't take this on, but once the book comes out, I'm happy to post about it once it's there. So I guess my thing is like, shoot your shot if that is feeling like something you want to take on. But if it feels really stressful and overwhelming, like Johnny said, absolutely lean on your team and use them like to your advantage, because that's what they're there for. So if the idea of reaching out to authors you don't know, like, and asking them to consider blurbing makes you want to throw up, then maybe you just reach out to your editor and say, hey, I would rather not. And I feel like most of them would probably be understanding and like be willing to work with you. But also, if you are feeling confident and you're like, you know what, I have nothing to lose and you want to approach it, like I did with Roxane Gay, like just try, right? Like, what's the worst that happens? She said no, but in the best way. And I got to fangirl over getting an email from Roxane Gay and her posting a picture of the book. So like, it worked out. So do what I think works best for you.
Yeah, like 99.9% of authors are just super nice people. And like, you know, you have to remember that, like, it's extremely, like, tense trying to think about just, like, interacting with them in this way, but, like, most of them are just, like, going to be so honored you'd even think about asking them to read your book. Like, they're going to want to support it regardless, like, with you and Roxane, like, it's going to be okay, you know, they're going to be friendly, they're not going to hate you.
Right, they've had to do it. So like, they get it. They're not going to write back and be like, how dare you? Even though it kind of feels like they might, but they won't.
They won't. As much as it feels like they won't.
Another thing I wanted to add about the building the network is something that worked for me, because like I said, I'm really shy, was volunteering for SCBWI events and other book fest. And when you volunteer, you're forced to talk to people, you know, because you got to arrange things and whatnot. And you start developing those relationships and you start meeting people. And little by little, you start getting out of that shell. So that's what worked for me. And, you know, one way to do it. And also, like you were mentioning about reaching for the stars, I wanted to mention Daniel Ailman. He's the one who, the author of Indivisible. And he reached out to Jodi Picoult. And she said yes, and she did a blurb for his book, and he was just mesmerized. So yeah, just, you never know, just reach out. You know, the worst, like you said, Crystal, the worst they could say is no. Oh, well, just move on, you know.
Right, and if they say no, they'll probably say it in a nice way. So, you know, it's all good.
And they're usually super open to, like, talking about it afterwards, like how Roxane did with you. Like, I know that, like, with us, like, Becky Albertalli was busy at that point. But like, she's mentioned my book like multiple times on Instagram and stuff. And so like, just because they can't read it at that point and talk about it and send your editor like a nice sentence about it at that time, doesn't mean that they're not gonna love your book and show love to your book, like to their audiences.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly. So now, how many blurbs did you guys request? And I guess how many did you end up receiving? And if you want to, you can name an author that you approached to blurb your book who said no, or one that you couldn't believe said yes, or both, whatever you feel comfortable sharing.
For me, we asked about, I'd say about 10 or 12, and about 4 or 5 came back right away saying no, that they were too busy. At the time, they had commitments already, and it was via their agents sometimes. And or they said they'd love to, but you know, they weren't doing any blurbs anymore. I guess some of them just don't do them anymore. And other ones responded kind of like, we'll wait and see, you know. And then 4 of them accepted. So I was surprised, you know, really, really surprised that someone would take the time to read the book and write this thing. I was just jumping up and down. I was amazed. And Francisco X. Stork was one of them that I was really surprised that, you know, he took the time. And, you know, I've loved all his books. You know, Illegal is one of my favorites. And to see that, oh my goodness, it was just mesmerizing to see that email that he had accepted to blurb me.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that. Every yes feels just like such excitement and validation, right? Where you're like, oh my God, thank you.
Yes.
How about you, Johnny?
Every person that I asked said yes, which was like amazing. So like on the back of my book, I have like 8 blurbs, which is like such a huge number. Like I know a lot of authors and books don't get that kind of interest or availability. So like, I'm super blessed with that. And all of them are just like queer authors I really admire, and like all except for one are like QTBIPOC authors, which I really wanted. I wanted to like cover my book in like QTBIPOC blurbs. And honestly, one that I was surprised that said yes was Aidan Thomas, because not because I thought he was gonna say no, like, but because I remember it was like right there close to his like book release date of Cemetery Boys. And mm-hmm. so for them to do that when I knew that they were like incredibly busy was really special.
Oh, wow.
That is amazing. Like literally when you shared how many blurbs you had and who blurbed your book, I was like, what?
Yeah, like it's incredible.
Such a flex, and I am here for it. I love it. So I think we approached like 8 or 9 different authors. And I actually only had 2 blurbs for my book, but I was thrilled with the 2 that I got. So I know that I mentioned that I reached out to Roxane Gay and she was too busy, which makes perfect sense. So that was someone who said no, but I was still thrilled anyway. And she did post about the book later. And then someone I can't believe we got to agree to this was Gabby Rivera, because I'm a huge fan. And like the quote that they, like she gave was like, just so beautiful, and talked about like the rom-com energy. And I just was like, I cried. I was like, oh my God, this feels so real. And it was just really exciting. So it was cool.
Honestly, an author goal is to get Gabby Rivera to blurb one of my books. Like yes. I'm just like writing books until she blurbs one of them.
Okay, well, I think that's
just gonna keep going.
That's more Johnny books, so like I'm really excited.
Yeah, bring it.
So there was a conversation recently kind of on Twitter and like in the book sphere on whether blurbs, you know, actually benefit when it comes to selling books, or if blurbs matter to readers, and you know, that kind of thing. So what are your opinions on the benefits of blurbs?
Honestly, I don't myself, I, you know, it's interesting if I see a blurb by someone, I'll pick up the book and take a look. But of course, I was told over and over, you know, no biggie, if you can't get them, it's no big deal. They told me statistically, there's been research and studies that it doesn't really affect or impact sales. You know, I didn't see the research papers, so I didn't read them. But, you know, as a scientist, I'm like, well, I want the data. I want to see the data. But, you know, I think they're nice. They help. And I think, if anything, the author, you get that, like you said, that validation that, oh, my goodness, somebody took the time to read it and write these beautiful words. You know, that itself is just glorious. And, you know, whether it sells or not, okay, you know, hopefully you hope for the best. But, you know, it's just, at least you get to savor that moment.
Absolutely. What about you, Johnny?
I think I, too, would like to see those receipts on, like, this study. But like at the same time, I don't think it's necessarily like blurbs that matter, but like the author that you choose. Because like, to be honest, the best outcome of an author blurbing your book, I think, is that they just keep talking about it afterwards. And like for me personally, it's always just so overwhelmingly emotional, like to like where I just actually scream when like every single time, like Mark and Aidan especially, like have been just the most, in the best way, like vocal and talkative about my book on Twitter and like in virtual events and in interviews. And I've heard readers talk about like, oh, I pre-ordered this book, or I heard about your book because I was watching Aidan on this one thing. And so like, there's that, because like, they wouldn't have been doing that in the first place if I hadn't asked them for a blurb and if they hadn't read it before everyone else. And like, I mean, even people like Julian Winters and Anna Mariano are like super gracious on Twitter about my book, and same thing, like, if I hadn't asked them for a blurb, they wouldn't have read my book, and I wouldn't be getting this attention from like authors just consistently yelling about it. So I think it's more like, if you can find authors that you just can like make a safe assumption that they might really love your book in a way that they'll keep talking about it just out of like the kindness of their heart, that's going to be the best win for you.
Yeah, I totally agree. I personally think blurbs are truly more for like the authors than they are for kind of anyone else, but in a good way. Like Johnny said, it helps you get your book out to people who will probably be really supportive after the fact, right? And who will continue to help promote your book and just like they might be people that someday you find yourself on a panel with or in conversation with, especially as you're starting to think about like your launch events and things like that. And like as a reader, I like reading blurbs myself, but I don't necessarily know that I've ever purchased a book because of a blurb. It might have like reiterated like, oh, this is a good purchase, self, good job, but I don't think it ever swayed me. So I do want to see these receipts as well. Let's just throw that out there. But so I think that blurbs matter. It's just that they matter more to like the writing community and the author community. And like I said, give you that validation and make you feel like you can go and promote your book. Cause I know once I got my blurbs, I was like, okay, this is legit. This is happening. And other people liked it. So that means like I can talk it up and, you know, try to talk about pre-ordering and things like that. And it just kind of gave me more confidence. Whereas beforehand, I was still really shy and kind of nervous to talk about this. Okay, so which blurbs for your debut novel have been your favorite or the most meaningful? So we kind of touched on this a little bit, but if you had to pick one.
Well, so far I have 3 blurbs, and all the 3 of them, I love them. I love them because each pointed something different, and it's just amazing how they perceive the book, you know, differently and what they picked out of that book. And so I have one from Francisco X. Dork and Laura Riesel. She's the author of Tree of Dreams. And Jay Anderson Coates. She's the author of The Many Reflections of Miss Jane Deming. And Laura's blurb talked about she said, as breathtaking as a shooting star, which is the opening of my book. It opens up with a comet. So the fact that she captured that, you know, I like that. And of course, Francisco X. Dork said, Petrus Luna's dream will fill your heart with courage. And oh, I was melting when I read that. I was like, oh my goodness, yes. And then, you know, to have Jay Anderson Coates, you know, say that, you know, she said with lyrical, heartfelt, and deeply authentic, that to me, coming from her, I was like, oh, that, yes, 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 you know, so excited. So I can't choose between those 3. They're just all so beautiful.
And I won't make you. Those are all perfect. So thank you. Okay, Johnny, of your bajillion blurbs, do you have a favorite?
I have to, like, always go with Mark's, I think. Like, there's just, like, I love everything about it. Like in the second half, it's very much like, hold on, let me see. I'm going to read it. At least the second half, because it's kind of long, but like they say that it's equal parts heartbreak and joy and centers queer people in all their brilliant glory. It's the Whataburger to my In-N-Out, and I can't wait for the world to lose their shit over it. Like that was just, I was like, I want that. Like, can I just have this as the cover? I just want these words on the cover.
Like anything with Whataburger in it, I'm
yeah, it's like Whataburger and In-N-Out connection, like shit involved, like I was like, yes, like this is everything that I need.
I love
theirs, and I also love Julian Winters's. Like, I think much like yours, all that, like his first sentence was 1500 miles from the sun shines like a supernova, and I was like, oh my god, like I'm about to cry, like
yeah.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I'm done, like this is it.
Oh, I love it. So I had 2 blurbs and they were both just really meaningful to me. So I mentioned Gabby Rivera was one of the people who blurbed it and talked about like, just like the funny rom-com energy. And I hadn't really thought of my book in that kind of way as a rom-com. Like I love rom-com so much that I was nervous to call my own book a rom-com for fear of like, does it live up? And so to have her say that in the blurb really meant a lot to me, and it felt like I was getting, I don't know, I could finally use those words to describe it myself. So that was really meaningful. And then Mason Deaver did the blurb that ended up on the front cover and was the first one that we got, and talked about how the book feels like getting a hug from your best friend. And it was just so heartwarming to read. And I was just like, oh my God, thank you so much. I just felt so grateful for both of them. And I think we all feel really grateful that people read our book and loved it and saw something kind of special in it.
I love that Mason blurbed both of our books.
Yes. So, okay. So let's talk acknowledgments. So what did it feel like writing the acknowledgement section for your first ever novel?
For me, I was nervous of leaving people out because so many people helped me. You know, I have been working for years on this novel and I wanted to make sure I mentioned everybody. So at one point I was afraid that they were going to say, you know what, you gotta, you know, what is it, less is more, or how to cut writing, you know, you're cut your verbiage, you're gonna cut this in half. And I'm like, there's so many people. But I went back, and especially librarians were a huge asset because it's historical fiction. And I couldn't have done this book, honestly, even getting started just without a librarian's help. So I had to have them in there. But yeah, that was the challenge I saw in starting the acknowledgement at first.
Absolutely. Acknowledgements are terrifying. How about you, Johnny?
I'm gonna speak to the other side of this and say that, like, I did not spend a lot of time on my acknowledgements at all. Like, I have friends who are just so mentally occupied with getting those right. And I was there just like, this doesn't really even matter. Like, I don't understand what the big deal is. Like, there are maybe like a handful of people that I have to like acknowledge, like my agent, you know, like those important people, but like, who cares? Like, I can go sign my friend's books, and if they didn't pre-order it, they don't belong in my acknowledgments. So like, there's that. Like, I really did not spend a lot of mental effort on this.
That I feel like that's fair. So I didn't spend a ton of time working on my acknowledgments, but I definitely spent a lot of time after I handed them in stressing over, oh my God, did I miss somebody? So I was like, I think I only worked on it for like an afternoon. Like, I truly just like wrote it. I reread it. I had my husband read it. I was like, did I catch everybody? And then I sent it off and like, didn't want to kind of think about it again because I was worried I would keep thinking of somebody maybe I missed. And but it ended up being really nice to sit down and really think about all of these people in my life who have had an impact on me, who I wanted to just give a special shout out to. And so that's kind of how I tried to think of the acknowledgments themselves, was not that I would capture absolutely every single person, but that I kind of wanted to do a nice surprise for people who did have an impact on me. And I didn't tell anybody that I was including them. So I just kind of left it to surprise until the book came out. And then if they looked at the acknowledgments and saw their name, then they got like the excitement of knowing that. And then if they didn't, then they're not going in my next acknowledgement. So there is that. So how did you choose and like narrow down who you wanted to include, and who were the people that you most wanted to make sure that you said thank you to in these acknowledgements?
For me, it was, you know, because it was a struggle to get this book out into the world. And I saw it like a battle. So it's people who were with me in the trenches, who fought with me, who believed in me, and who cheered me on, and who supported me, and gave me the resources, the tools. And so all these people, the way I stated in my acknowledgments, that the way they say it's takes a village to raise a child. I think the same thing is for a book. You know, I think it takes a village to come together and get this book. You know, there's so many people don't realize, at least I didn't when I used to see books on shelves when I was a kid, that there was just so many people behind a book. And yeah, that's what I started focusing on. Okay, who was with me in those trenches? And it was easier once I saw it that way, you know, in that perspective to see, okay, these family members, these friends, these writing friends, and all these people that never gave up on me.
I love it. What about you, Johnny?
I wanted to make sure I had my agent, publishing people, beta readers / like critique partners, friends, and close family. And that was kind of the order of like the ranking of importance for me. I think like Alda said, like I wanted to make sure that the people who helped me make this book into what it is and help it exist in the world were who I wanted to make sure got included. So like anyone who actually like put effort into this book was who I wanted to make sure like I give a shout out to.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about these teams and like how important they are. And I straight up said, like, use your editor and your agent to your advantage. And so like, once you do that, you really should give them a nice little thank you in your acknowledgments. Yeah, I totally agree. So those teams were truly like the most important for me to say thank you to, because we did work so hard on this and we worked together on this. And, you know, they put up with all my millions of questions that I had as a newbie. So it was like those people I wanted to make sure I got in there first, even people who like I didn't necessarily have like direct contact with, but like somebody who copy edited my book and then my editor just sent along the copy edits. I still wanted to give a thank you to that person because they were very thoughtful and they like were part of the process. So obviously everybody involved in making the book, and then everyone else that I gave a shout out to was just like, I just love you and I want to include you in my acknowledgments. So, you know, a lot of my friends, my close family, I gave obviously a big shout out to my husband because he was the inspiration for the love interest in the book. I think I mentioned my dog and definitely mentioned my daughter. So, yeah, and just trying to include people who were really supportive and like helped me get where I needed to be with this book. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now the big question, did you guys forget anyone in your acknowledgement?
I hope not. I'm sure I'll hear about it once the book is out. I hear from La Tia, you know, reaching out. It's like, hey, I see my name here. So we'll see. I don't know. I'm not as far as I know, but I have a big family, so I'm sure I'll hear from someone.
That's true. Johnny?
Same. Like, we'll see. And like, I guess they'll find out if they buy my book. Like,
it's true. Like, they have to. They've got to buy it in order to complain about not being in the acknowledgement. So it's actually a good marketing.
Yeah, you'll say, well, I'll put you in the next one.
Right? Yeah, exactly. If you didn't make it in the first one, I'll put you in the second one. You help me make my advance back. And like, there we go.
Perfect. So my book has come out and I have not heard from anybody who said that I forgot them. But I do think I put a line in there that said something like, I'm sorry if I did forget you. It doesn't mean that you're not important to me. And so that I think helped me. And honestly, the only people I heard from were people who were grateful and excited that they saw their names there. So like I had some friends reach out who maybe we didn't talk as much during the pandemic or whatever, but they were still really meaningful in like the journey of creating this book. And so like I had one of my friends reach out and just be like, oh my God, I picked this up because I care about you and I wanted to read this book and wasn't at all expecting to like turn to the acknowledgements and see my name. So, I mean, I love that. And that's exactly what I was trying to do with the acknowledgements, do like a nice little gift, like you bought it and now here's your name. So I think it worked out. It worked out well, knock on wood. So you guys will be fine.
Well, that's a great idea though. I'm gonna have to do that next time. Use that one line. I missed your name. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone else, thank you so much.
I like that.
So if you could give your past self some tips on writing your acknowledgement section, like what would you say to debut you who is really stressed out and worrying about this? And what do you want to make sure you include or think about in your next acknowledgements?
I think I would continue, because something I did before was go through other historical fiction books and see who they thanked, and kind of, I always do that. I always look to see what other people, how they did it, you know, and get a bunch of notes and research around. And I think because my next book is historical fiction too. So, and there's new research coming up. So again, I think I'll thank whoever helps me with that research, the librarians and archives people. And also something that I did was, that helped me that I saw another historical fiction author do, was to acknowledge the researchers who of the works she had studied, which helped me in turn to, you know, do my own research for my book. So I think it just goes around, you know, if someone picks it up to find out, okay, what research did she do, who did she study, or what works and whatnot, it's there, you know, you acknowledge them there, and that could propel that person to do further investigations for their work.
That is so thoughtful. I love that. Okay, Johnny, how about you?
I think I probably would have told my former self, and I'll probably do this like just going forward. Like, I would ask my publisher for like a list of names of people who helped, because like obviously I don't know all the names of, like you said, Crystal, like we just might have like copy editor one, like in our little side notes, and like so we don't have names. And I would love to like actually like include those people. And so I would love to just ask my publisher, like, hey, just tell me the names and like I can put them in here. And I think for next time, like I feel like I'm probably gonna care even less. Like, and maybe that's terrible, but I mean, aside from like those important people, like I think that going forward and having more books, it kind of just allows me to solely focus on those who've now been here with me through my debut and writing a second book, both of which like happened during a pandemic, and like seeing that go out into the world, because there are like different names now. There are more like other names, people who like I have met who weren't included in the first one, but are probably gonna be included in the second one. And I wanna make sure that those get priority. And like, I honestly just kind of foresee like very short acknowledgement sections just as a practice going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I saw somebody give a tip that was basically like, if you're worried about not including someone, to start a document like, and just have it kind of like in your notes app, so you can just jot people down in there. And I really loved that as a concept, because I do stress about not including somebody. And so I might do that. Well, I say that and I haven't started it, so like, we'll see if I actually do this, but I think it's a good idea to keep a list if you do stress about that. Like I wanna, so the first round of acknowledgements, I didn't know what went into like having a book come out into the world. So I don't think I knew to thank certain like industries or people. And so like, I would love to, in my next acknowledgements, talk, like give thanks to a lot of the authors that I've met, a lot of like the groups I'm involved with in now, like Las Musas, and really give thanks to all the people who helped me with that first book that I didn't know they were going to help me with. So like libraries, librarians, bookstagrammers, book talk, like all of those people I feel like who don't often get the recognition that they deeply deserve. Mm-hmm. I would love to give them little shout outs in the acknowledgement. I mean, it's just, it's a little shout out, right? Like it's not everything, but I think it could be nice to just be like, here are all of the people who helped me along the way. I didn't know you were going to be helpful to me, but I love you and appreciate you.
No, but can I say, like, to your point, I remember seeing a while back ago when I like hadn't even had an agent yet, I was still just kind of like working on this thing. I had saw someone tweet that like in these practices of making your book just feel like a real book, and especially if you're someone who really likes to get personal with your acknowledgments, write an acknowledgement section in your manuscript, like regardless of if you have an agent or a publication deal, like just write your acknowledgments. Like, what does it hurt? And it makes it feel like, okay, like it makes it feel more cohesive, like an actual book. And you have something to reference like a year and a half from now, whenever you're being asked to write acknowledgments, like you have a rough draft already there.
Yeah, I love that.
Mm-hmm. I didn't do that, but like, I thought that was a really cool idea. And it had me thinking of like who I would include, like which of my friends made the cut and stuff like that.
Well, and it's true, like you do get, like the book process is kind of long. So sometimes you can forget people or forget parts of the publishing journey. Like if you did something at the beginning and now all of a sudden you're writing the acknowledgements much closer to when the book comes out. So I love that if you have like, you can just include it with your manuscript and then you can always go back and add. Like
you don't have to send that to your agent when you're querying. It can just be something for you. But like, if it helps you, one, feel like it's a more real book. I mean, it's a real book regardless, but like, if it makes you feel like it's even more of one, like do it. And also like, if you just like to get sentimental for whatever reason, like that could be cute too.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay. So this was a super fun conversation, just like getting into the weeds of blurbs and acknowledgements. And I really loved it. So thank you both for chatting with me today.
Thank you, Crystal.
It was fun.
Yeah, this was so fun. If you'd like to learn more about Las Musas or our books, please visit our website at lasmusasbooks.com or find us on social media at Las Musas Books, and be sure to check out our bookshop page where each purchase of our books goes towards supporting independent bookstores. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also sign up for the Las Musas newsletter to have podcast updates, as well as other Musa news, such as release dates, teasers, spotlights, and more delivered straight to your inbox. Thanks for listening.